We shit the bed on this one. Yeah, it's the Padded Room Podcast. You missed me. I missed you. I also missed Miss Monica. She's not here today. My name is Darian. Buddy is here, though.
Yeah. Hey, what's going on, guys?
No, Monica. you may remember last week we mentioned a car accident. She is fine. Her husband is fine also, but they are temporarily without transportation. And yeah. Since she failed to mention that to us, we were unable to go pick her up in Carson City, which is about an hour from here.
Yeah, it sucks to be down to one vehicle.
Yeah, it does. I hate that. Mm-hmm. I hate that shit. That's why I have a motorcycle.
Oh,
also,
yeah.
Just in case. You never know.
Or feet.
I also have feet, a skateboard. Maybe I could fashion like a dog sled something. If I use the dogs and the skateboard,
there you go.
I'm good to go. I got some jump ropes. I'll be at work in about 3 hours. Very stupid. The stupidest possible way to get to work.
It'd be funny to watch though.
It would. Probably get.
I'd pull over and get my phone out.
Oh yeah. Probably get sidetracked by some squirrels or something. End up laying in the bushes. So we are without Miss Monica this week, inmates, but she's fine. Her husband is fine. Their vehicle is not, unfortunately. So hopefully she'll be back next week. Buddy, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing fabulous.
Yeah?
Yeah.
How's the no days off going?
Oh, pretty good.
You've got like a psycho look on your face. I'll be honest with you. It's a little intimidating.
A little intimidating?
Yeah.
Probably the coffee.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure you're best friends with coffee now.
Yeah. Yesterday, I was hurting yesterday. I was so tired.
Yeah?
Yeah, I got off work. Normally supposed to get off work at 6:30. I didn't get off till, I don't know, it was after 8, of course. Of course, I was like, oh, I still got to watch Immersion Therapy.
Oh, God.
Why did I watch that?
Oh, God. Well, we'll get into that in Immersion Therapy,
yeah.
But God damn it. Well, yeah, it's a whole other story there. We got the usual shit show to get into. Might be a little short this weekend, mate, since we are without one Monica.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have any stories to regale you with of us dating homeless people, unfortunately, so... We can go ahead and start the regular smorgasbord off with a little horror news.
Mm-hmm.
Horror news.
Buddy, take us away.
All right, so Fear the Walking Dead is going to return for season 3 on June 4th. With 16 new episodes.
Yeah, you could watch in the Fear of the Walking Dead at all?
No.
Yeah, me neither. I think I watched the entire first season.
Really?
And I can tell you right now, I was talking to Angel on Twitter the other night about it. She's really into this new season.
Oh, okay.
Or maybe it was the last one. It looks like another death clock.
Huh.
You know?
Okay.
You build up a group of survivors and you wait to see which one of them is going to get off next.
Oh, wow.
That would be my opinion.
Yeah.
It's a fucking depressing, man.
Right?
You know? Just like the regular Walking Dead.
I was going to say, yeah, just like that one. Everything's fucking depressing. Everybody's dying.
Everybody dies and then they live miserable lives up to the point that they die.
Yeah, I think I'd rather die.
Me too. Me too.
Gamers, Injustice 2 comes out May 16th, and Robert Englund provides the voice of Scarecrow in it, which is pretty badass.
I'm into that. Did you play Injustice 1 at all?
No, but I saw the trailer to this, and it looks pretty good.
Injustice 1 was pretty dope.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I like that. You got to be into the fighting games, though.
Right.
The two guys fighting.
Uh-huh.
I'm not usually into the online play, but uh-huh. I'll tell you what's really weird. You play like a, what are you, Black Ops and all that shit?
Oh, yeah.
You play that online.
Call of Duties.
And everybody you encounter online in those games is a complete waste of oxygen. It's like a bunch of 12-year-old shit talkers.
Mostly, yeah.
And they shoot you down, and they don't give you a chance to respawn, and then they go and teabag you while you're waiting to respawn.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck you. And then you play like a Mortal Kombat X, and everybody's a sweetheart.
Oh, yeah.
Which is kind of strange, because it's more competitive, and somebody's going to win, somebody's going to lose, but I don't know, it just seems like there's a whole other community around fighting games.
Huh.
Interesting. There's a pretty cool story. If you're into comic books, there's a pretty cool story in Injustice 1.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Well, not only does Robert Englund have a voice in there, the cast also includes Jeffrey Combs from Reanimator.
Oh, nice.
As Brainiac, along with Laura Bailey, George Newbern, Kevin Conroy, Neil McDonough, Tara Strong, Phil Lamar, and Gray DeLisle. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
A lot of names. A few weeks ago, I talked about the new Piranha movie, Summer of Piranha, with Christopher Lloyd will be returning to this movie as well. He was in 3D and 3DD.
Okay.
And then in Japan, it will be called Piranha JPN.
Piranha Japan. Okay. Yeah. That makes sense.
Right.
All right.
So, all right.
Is Gianna Michaels coming back at all? Or?
They didn't say that at all.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, she died in the first one.
Oh, did
God
she?
God damn it. Yeah, but she had a rack out when she died.
Mm.
You know who I'm talking about? Gianna Michaels, porn star?
Oh, yeah.
She was the girl in the paratroop, the fucking, what do you call that? The wind?
The parasail?
Yeah, the parasail.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, beautiful set of breasts on that one.
Yeah, she's got quite the body.
She does. Mm. I enjoy that.
Yeah. Santa Clarita Diet Season 2 is expected to hit Netflix sometime in 2018, next year.
Wonderful. Have you watched that?
I saw the first season of it, yeah.
You like it?
Yeah, I liked it. It was a little overacting, it seemed like. But, I mean, it was good. I'll watch the second season.
Right on. I haven't watched it yet. But one of these days, I'll get caught up.
Yeah, you should. It's pretty good.
Right on.
All right, that's all I got. What do you got?
Oh, let's take a look here. New trailers for It and The Mummy broke this week.
Yes.
I got two raging boners for both of these
right?
movies. Holy fuck. I think I'm just slightly a little more excited for The Mummy than I am for It.
Really?
Although, I have to tell you, I started reading the book, It, while listening to the book.
The original old one? Or
the
new one? Okay.
Well, there's only one book.
Man. Oh, okay. I didn't know Stephen King's book. Decided to redo it or not.
44 hours on Audible. That's a fucking... If I was actually reading the book, I could bench press it afterward and get a workout.
Yeah.
44 fucking hours. I think that's going to take me right up to my retirement.
Right?
Jesus Christ.
Wow.
Great book so far, though.
Cool.
Mummy looks dope.
Yeah, it does.
I was talking shit to Nicole about her, but I like her.
I can't remember her name offhand, but
Sophia Botanella or something like that. Woo! Daddy!
Yeah, she does look better as the mummy, though.
But that's just because we're sick bastards. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If I was married to her, I'd be like, do you think I could wrap you up in toilet paper real quick? It's just a thing I like to do. I'm sorry.
And then occasionally, maybe just saran wrap.
You know, put a little tattoo on your face there. You can wipe it off when we're done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's hot. And that looks like a great show.
Yeah,
and I'm excited for this whole... encompassing universe that they're trying to put together.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Russell Crowe's in this one. He's playing Dr. Jekyll.
Yes, very
cool. So I think he's going to be like the character that weaves it all together. So
that'll be good.
That'll be cool.
At least it won't be Tom Cruise in every single movie.
You got a problem with Tom Cruise, too?
Yeah.
What's your problem with Tom Cruise?
Arrogant.
It's the Scientology. I don't fucking know. I'm sure he's an asshole. What else we got here? The Real Ghostbusters. You remember that?
Oh, yeah.
The cartoon?
Uh-huh.
You're rolling your eyes. You got a problem with The Real Ghostbusters?
Yeah.
It has very little to do with the movies.
Right.
Obviously. Did you ever watch that remake?
No, I didn't. No.
Me neither. I was not mad at the cartoon, but I was not... you got the original Ghostbusters, right?
Yeah.
The two movies. They're awesome.
Yes.
Cartoon.
Not so good.
Well, it's designed for kids,
right.
Is the thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you got to scale back the humor and you get with the laser blasters.
Yeah, then they joined with Scooby-Doo in one of them.
Yeah, things got weird.
Yeah.
They did a lot of partying in the 80s.
Whatever was going on in that van.
Yeah. The Real Ghostbusters, the cartoon, is now in its entirety streaming on Netflix, if anybody wants to take a trip down memory lane.
Interesting.
Whatever you want to do. I would rather watch that than the remake.
Yeah. I want to watch the remake at least once.
Here's the thing.
Just to watch.
Here's what pisses me off. First off, it tanked at the box office.
Right.
The remake did. And everybody is quick to jump on the misogynist bandwagon and say that nobody watched it because we don't like the fact that they're women.
That has nothing to do with
it. I didn't watch it because I found it fucking disrespectful to the original.
Yeah.
You can't put Bill Murray in there as a cab driver. Yeah. You son of a bitch.
Yeah. They need to have a bigger role, either like a retirement thing.
Dude, exactly. This easily could have been Ghostbusters 3.
Yeah. Let's start off with like a retirement party.
Yeah.
That would be kick-ass. Yeah. Shit, and things broke to hell and, you know, we need you back.
Or you could kill them off if you wanted to.
Yeah.
You could have them like start up a franchise in a separate city. Whatever. Mm-hmm. Just, all right. Now my blood pressure is going up again. You motherfuckers.
Yeah, your face is about as red as your shirt.
Lastly, this is something that I'm kind of excited for, although I will never be able to afford it. Bela Lugosi's old Hollywood mansion is now for sale.
Ooh, wow.
How dope would that be?
Yeah.
I saw pictures of it on the internet.
Uh-huh.
It's got that classic 1920s Hollywood glitz and glamour look to it. Oh. It's badass. And rumored to be haunted by Bela himself. $3 million is the asking price, which actually seems kind of low.
Yeah, it does seem low.
I think it was like 5.5 bedrooms and like 3 bathrooms. But what's really cool is there's an old, a really old interview / I don't know if it was an actual interview or a spoof of an interview of Bela, and it was this young reporter, and she's like a hot chick, and she's interviewing him at that house in the backyard. Hmm. And if you look at the pictures, you can see exactly where they were sitting.
Nice.
And what was funny about the interview was she was interviewing him and asking him questions. And all of a sudden, he gets like this very far away stare and then just kind of like looks off in the distance and starts talking to somebody that's not there. And then she gets up and runs away.
That's awesome.
I don't know if that was staged or not. I mean, he was a drug addict, but that has nothing to do with anything. That's all I got on the horror news, kids. Let's get ourselves into some listener mail.
Mm-hmm.
Listener mail.
Listener mail. Oh, we got a few things going on. Let's start it off with our old friend, Crackhouse Matt.
Yeah, Matt.
Coming all the way from Baltimore, Maryland. Subject line, I wasn't serious. All right.
Okay.
I don't know. I would like to extend my sincere apologies to the listener base of the Padded Room podcast. Eric Roberts Month was meant as an April Fool's joke that we will all now have to suffer through and endure together. You're fucking A right, you will, Matt. The only positive I can come up with is that at least it's not the month of May when where would be five Tuesdays and thus an extra week of Eric Roberts shenanigans. I don't see what... I mean... Okay, first off, Matt, it is your fault because you sent us the Eric Roberts month thing, and I was like, okay, I guess that's what we'll do. And you're like, no, I'm just kidding. But then he never gave us anything else.
Right.
So, Matt, you contributed the Patreon links, so thank you very much for that. But you got to get with us and let us know what you want us to do.
Yeah, and it screwed up our feature film.
It did. You son of a gun. We'll get to that in a second. If you have any listeners and or co-hosts left at the end of the month, well, we're short one already.
Right.
Well done, Matt. Get ready for the Darien show, because that's what you're going to be looking at. I'll figure out some way to make it up to you all. Hopefully Buddy can bail us out with some decent immersion therapy picks to wash the Eric Roberts out of our mouths each week. If you've got Eric Roberts in your mouth, then this podcast is the least of your worries. On a side note, I need more details on Monica's homeless molester guy story that chews juicy fruit for fresh breath. That was some of the craziest shit I've ever heard, and I go through abandoned houses with evil dolls and dildos for a living. I feel like Monica has so much more she hasn't shared yet.
Right?
That's all I got this week. I'll see you guys next week, live and in person. Crackhouse Matt out.
Very cool.
regarding Miss Monica, the things I have to cut out of this show, like just the weird stuff that I feel is inappropriate, that's like a whole other sideshow in and of itself.
Yeah. That's a whole new podcast.
I think she needs to write a book.
Right? Memoirs of Miss Monica.
My crazy Hungarian fucking family in Carson City or something. Oh, very cool, Matt. Thanks for writing in.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see who's up next here. How about Tony?
Hey, Tony.
Hey, he made it to the big boy email this
week.
Yeah,
very cool.
Well done. Subject line, catching up. Greetings, Padded Room. Your new schedule threw me off for a bit. I have to ask, why is it Monica can sit through some shitty movies, but can't watch something like Night Watch? It boggles the mind. I agree.
Right?
She has like a very limited attention span, I guess, is what. Yeah. I mean, that's not true, but you have to, when it comes to movies, if you don't punch her right in the cooter, like coming out of the opening credits, she's going to lose interest very quickly.
Yeah.
So you get into Night Watch. It actually started off pretty solid, but then it right after that, it goes into like the kid and the backstory and all that shit. And then it gets a little
boring.
Yeah. So, you know, that's what you got to do.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't find the feature film, and the girlfriend made me watch The Voice last night instead of Immersion Therapy. Hmm. We couldn't find the motherfucker either, Tony. So you thought you were going to get Neuron this week. You're not. You're getting something else.
Right.
We should probably look into that before we make that. And that's something we're going to do from now on. what I have watched, though, was all quite good. Cooties, horror comedy about zombie kids. You seen Cooties?
God, I think maybe a long time ago.
No, it's fairly recent.
Oh, it is? Okay. Yeah. I was thinking like an 80s one. But
it's got Elijah Wood. He plays a substitute summer school teacher.
Oh, wow.
During the big zombie outbreak.
I'll have to check it out. I like stupid, funny comedy.
Yeah. Rainn Wilson plays the gym teacher. He's great.
Nice.
Get Out, really good. I figured it out about 25 minutes in, but they added a nice little twist.
Oh, yeah.
A House on Willow Street, really good special effects and makeup. Havenhurst, decent, but again, figured it out in the first half.
Right.
Currently watching Peelers as I write this. Can't go wrong with zombies and strippers.
Oh.
And Justin Long always gives off a gay vibe, rose tattoo or not. Until next time, Tony.
Yeah, my wife says the same thing.
Yeah?
Yeah.
He was in one of those Seth Rogen movies where he actually played a gay porn star.
Yeah, maybe he is. I don't know.
I don't know. Isn't he married to Drew Barrymore? Or what he was for a minute?
Not that I know of.
I don't know about that. I have no idea. I don't think he's gay, though.
Tom Green was.
I know that. That was stupid. even I was like, fuck, man, maybe I should marry her. Apparently, she'll marry anybody.
Right?
So I better get in line. All right, that's it for the emails. Let's take a look at these voicemails here. I believe this to be Gracie's Poppy. He called in quite a few times.
Wow.
Which means he's probably very angry.
Uh-oh.
At you.
Yeah.
GP.
Hey, GP.
Hey, GP.
I want to go back to the Fury for a little bit.
Okay.
I really don't think that someone who fell asleep twice when watching this movie is really all that qualified to give a synopsis of the movie.
Okay.
Yeah, 'cause you kind of butched it, man.
I butched it?
So let me give it a shot.
Okay. Okay.
The whole thing, I guess the basic premise of it is, you know, back in the 50s and 60s, the CIA and presumably the KGB or whatever the fuck, DRU or whatever
right.
the fuck Soviet
Majestic.
Equivalent was back then.
Yes.
They were trying to develop people like a mind control kind of thing, you know, like MK Ultra.
Yes.
You know, kind of like a psychic interrogators and shit like that.
Right.
That's kind of like the basic, I guess the basic premise of this. Now, that assassination attempt on the boy's father, that was staged, but it wasn't staged. It was a real assassination attempt, but they wanted to make it look like it was somebody else, not this particular group that this man was involved in. They were trying to kidnap his son because they knew about what, you know, he has an ability.
Right.
And they want to take him for himself and develop him. For their purposes. So, they tried, that's why, you know, Kirk Douglas, by the way, is a fucking stud. 60 fucking years old making this movie.
Uh-huh.
You look good in his underwear.
That's why Kirk Douglas shot at the guy. Because it was a real assassination attempt on him. And, you know, so that was that. And then the Amy Irby thing, she wasn't really involved. She was...
Right.
Kirk Douglas hired this one psychic to try to find his kid, and the guy's like the creeper that was following Amy Irving while she was in her bathing suit with her friend.
Yeah, that weird right. homeless
kind of
dude.
Felt something from Amy Irving, how holy fuck, she's pretty fucking strong in a force.
And she was hot.
So that's why he calls up and says, hey, you know, I can't really help you, but this chick right here, she got to try her, because I think she can do it.
Okay.
So that's where she gets involved.
I got that far.
Now, the most subplot with her going, you know, she has her abilities, and then they try to take her to the doctor, who's actually, incidentally, the same doctor who developed this boy, or they took the Kirk Douglas' son to, after they kidnapped him. Well, quote-unquote kidnapped, because they didn't make it look like a kidnap. Say, your father's dead, why don't you come stay with us?
Yeah,
take care of
mm-hmm, right.
So, if they're not really connected, the only thing that connects is that she can feel him. So, when Kirk Douglas finds out that he uses her to get to him.
Right.
Now.
Yeah, got that far.
The one meaty part about it that I like.
Well, you know, I mean, what do you expect?
You know, Kirk Douglas, I think he would have been a good James Bond.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I could see that. I mean, it's a little after his time, I guess.
Yeah.
If he had been a little bit younger, perhaps.
Right. Yeah, he would have been pretty good.
I don't know, man. I mean, most of the James Bonds I like. I did not like Pierce Brosnan.
No.
Timothy Dalton was okay. Roger Moore was all right. Daniel Craig's a bad motherfucker.
Yeah.
Sean Connery was a badass.
Yeah.
I don't like a James Bond that I feel like I could take in a fight.
Right.
Like Pierce Brosnan.
Right.
I'll take care of that. That twerp. All right, GP. I apologize for you being GP'd, but you know what the time limit is. So here comes GP again.
Round two.
Round two.
Bitch. Round two. The neat thing about it I liked, there's one part in there, when Kirk Douglas kidnaps two cops and has them drive them around.
That was kind
of
silly.
One of the cops.
Yeah.
Is Dennis Franz,
yes.
a.k.a. one of the best fucking cops in television history.
And
the man I wanted to grow up when I'm... Well, I wanted to be when I grow up. Andy Sipowicz from NYPD Blue.
Correct.
But he has a good meet-you party there, too. It was kind of cool seeing him there. So that was that.
That was silly, Gene.
And the rest plays out as it is. So that's... It's like, I don't know why you didn't like it. I mean, I don't, yeah, maybe a little bit slow, but it's... It's a good fucking movie. Even Sarah liked it. She told me she liked it. So
I think she's trying to get you to
buy it. Try again. Maybe, you know, when you're wide awake.
That right, might now, help.
Speaking of, Immersion Therapy, Deep in the Darkness.
Yeah.
Unfortunately for all of us, I did not fall asleep during this fucking movie. I fucking got. All right, for one thing, that has got to be the quickest fucking pregnancy in the history of man.
Yeah, no shit.
And I swear to fucking Christ, I was supposed to believe that they went through at least 9 months in that movie. I mean, because I, correct me wrong, but they showed up at that place and then they decided to have another kid. So at least 9 months, maybe
correct.
10.
Yeah, right. You're right.
And the season's gonna change?
Nope, not at all.
So no.
I agree.
Whatever the fuck they were. Goddamn ridiculous, man.
Caveman?
Jesus fucking Christ. It was just so fucking silly. And,
sorry, JP.
He's not bold. I like him. He's cool. He's good. But later towards the end, when they decided to book out, they get in the car, they book out after, like, running over the goddamn sheriff there.
Yeah.
And he hears that kid's voice, oh, no, stop, whatever. One. I'm figuring this guy's done for, so I have no more obligation for him. So let's get the fuck out. My family's here. We're going. No, what does he do? He goes to the fucking house to try to find him.
Stupid.
And not only that, and the guy, he goes in, sees something, and he comes back in, and he goes, give me that flashlight. And I'm like,
yeah.
And he goes back in the fucking dark with a flashlight, trying to find, when he knows these fucking things are all around him.
Yeah.
In the goddamn woods, where parked in the middle of, in his house, he knows that these fucking things are there.
That's true.
He's like, yeah. All right, just hold on tight. I know these vicious things are out there.
I deserve it.
I'm gonna fucking kill you, but I gotta...
Yeah, oh, well, there you go. Yeah, not so good there, buddy.
Yeah. Well, you know, I can't be good all the time, right?
I wasn't nearly as mad about this as GP was, or is. I thought the caveman looked good.
Yeah.
Glowing eyes and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty neat. All right, well, he called back.
All right.
So he's going to be really fired up now.
Yeah, round three.
I'm going to give myself a fucking aneurysm.
Yeah, see what you did?
What the fuck?
God no. Damn it.
Say, take care of me. I just got to go check and see if this loser is still alive or not. So he goes and he hunts him down, and then, whatever, like, finds him, and like, okay, you can take him, whatever. Go, like, great, fine, whatever.
Yeah.
Okay, go. So then you're going to go run to the fucking, I mean, what the fuck, you know? You have no fucking obligations on whatsoever.
No.
You have your obligation to your family.
Yeah.
Get the fuck out.
I agree.
That's why they fucking do after a stupid ass, like, bitch fight with these things. And the kid gets to slice one of them's throat, and he goes, like, fucking breakdancing all over the fucking car, spraying blood, and, like, takes, like, forever from the fucking die.
That's true.
Yeah.
That was bad.
And then what happens? They get in the car and they take off. But guess what? The cop car is not even blocking the bridge. It's just one car, and it's not blocking the bridge. And it's like, oh, shit, we gotta go back.
Yeah.
God, grab the goddamn thing. Run over the cop. You did it once already. Get the fuck out of there.
I agree.
Oh, my God, this fucking movie. and how's this for it? Speaking of, you gotta poke with a stick. And I think I was telling you about where you gotta do a movie where you gotta go behind this guy and say, you know, you gotta poke with a stick or you gotta turn lights on. How about when a guy, old guy, kicks you in the middle of a fucking woods and you see his ancient altar there, he tells you gotta make a sacrifice?
I'll do it.
You don't laugh it off.
I'll do it.
The only question you ask is, how big is the fucking animal gotta be? I can't do this. And then everything would have been hunky dory. You would have been literally, you know, the life of Miley then.
Yeah.
And then at the very fucking end, you think that the big thing was, well, she was part of the family. Like, and you look at the picture that you've known for as long as you fucking knew this chick, you saw her like a couple hundred times, you didn't notice the fucking mailbox. It's not like it was way, way, way in the background. It was right fucking next door.
Yeah,
you
it was.
Didn't notice the You're name right. on the fucking mailbox.
Wow.
Man, buddy. Bad, bad buddy.
I He's gonna hit you with a rolled up nose newspaper.
Love y'all.
Oh goodness, I deserved it.
Yep. God, he's very angry.
Yeah, I haven't heard him like that in a while.
Yeah. I mean, okay. So, I mean, we'll get into this in immersion therapy, but I was under the impression that he was supposed to sacrifice the fucking animal. He failed to do so. But then about that time is when his wife got all weird, so I think she sacrificed her vagina.
No.
And had sex with one of those things, and that's why they didn't fuck with him for as long as they did.
Which maybe that explains the 9 months, so maybe since it was one of those things, it's actually shortened it because it wasn't a human baby.
That's a little bit of a reach, but I'll buy it. Oh, God.
Yeah.
Boy, he was not happy.
No.
Ah, GP.
Oh, goodness.
All right. Well, in case you have any kind of an asshole left after that, here comes Sarah.
Oh, boy.
What's up, editor?
What's up, Sarah?
Hey, Sarah.
So, I don't know how good the connection's going to be because I'm in my attic very far away from the router, but I have full bar, so I think I'm okay.
Sounds pretty good.
Yeah, you sound fine.
Because I'm not doing it on an actual phone. I'm doing it on an iPod.
Okay.
Hmm.
I didn't know.
But anyway, enough crying. I didn't get to watch the immersion therapy.
Don't.
Kind of too late now.
No, you're fine. You're fine.
I heard that My dad went full on crazy like he used to. So that's fun. That's
putting it gently.
Yeah. I think he liked it.
So I would have had a great time. Darn it. I might watch it.
No. Don't. You don't need to.
Probably shouldn't waste my time, though.
No, don't.
The Fury. I actually really liked it. I don't care what you guys say.
No, you're fine, man.
It was good.
Okay.
It was actually kind of good. Yeah. Like, what I liked about it was the stuff that no doubt will be burned into my mind forever.
Kurt Russell in his underwear.
It's just...
Kurt Douglas.
Kurt Douglas.
The whole concept of it, I liked. It took... The only thing I really didn't like about it is that it did take a long time for them to, like, get to the point of the story, I guess.
I agree completely.
And in the ending, it was just sad and depressing, and I kind of got really mad, and then when the ending happened, I was happy all over again.
Yay.
So, butterflies.
Yeah. I think last week, you guys, I haven't gotten a chance to listen to the Padded Room yet. I'm going to do that after this. But I think you guys were reviewing Jeepers Creepers.
We were,
in the car, driving me to school.
Very cool.
That was playing. And I wanted to start the call going, Jeepers Creepers. Where'd you get the creepers? Because that's the only thing I can remember from that movie.
Okay.
But anyway, have a good night.
You too, Sarah.
Yeah, you too.
Blah, 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 blah. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. It's amazing to me that these two are related in any way. You know what I mean? Very cool, Sarah. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah.
I had a crazy dream the other night. I was a little sleep deprived, and I only got like 20 minutes of real sleep because I was having problems with my son. And I've been under the fucking throes of a full-on allergy attack.
Oh.
But I had this crazy dream that I was actually in Jeepers Creepers.
Oh, yeah?
Like I was one of the characters, and I was in the back of the car.
Oh, okay.
Complaining about Derry's stinky laundry the whole time. But the funny part was... apparently I hadn't seen the movie because like I was yelling at him to get out of the fucking pipe and I'm like, you know, get the fuck out of there, you jackass. I will leave your ass down here. And then at the end when she's like trying to bargain with the creeper,
right?
I was like calling the creeper a pussy and telling him what a cocksucker he is.
Uh-huh.
But then he did that head thing where his head opens up.
And you scream like a girl.
Yeah, I was like, oh! Yeah.
That'd do it for me too.
Yeah, I saw that. No. Take him, he's all yours. Yeah,
that's right.
Enjoy the tattoo there.
Yeah. That'll look good on you.
Yeah, you son of a bitch. Alrighty, well that's all we got on the listener mail, my friend.
All right.
You got anything for friggin' Tony, Crackhouse, Matt, GP, or Sarah?
Oh, thanks for calling and writing in.
Oh God, we gotta get into a movie here.
Yeah, it's gonna be a rough one.
Fucking dude. Remind me to punch Matt in the dick when I see him next week.
A lot of people died under the Ferguson moon to build this town. Clayton and Melissa were discovering something even beyond the case.
This lawsuit and running out of room at the Turners stumbled upon something I think you might find interesting.
Things like this just don't happen.
What do you mean by that?
I think there was someone in the house again last night.
My father always told us they did speak. And you can summons the dead without even realizing it.
In all your years as a homicide detective, have you ever experienced something like this?
Thought we buried all that.
Whoever killed Melissa Ward
had the same plans for you.
Said I don't know anything about any girl.
Hands out, tell me where she is.
Not even the trailer looked that good.
No.
You know?
Not at all.
Did they even summon anything? Was there, like, any kind of a... Okay. All right.
It was very poorly done.
Oh, boy, inmates.
It was just a shitty week in movies.
It's a good thing Monica's not here, because I think we'd both get fucking throat chopped.
Yeah, right?
You for immersion therapy and me for picking this piece of crap. We're talking about The Summoning from 2017, written and directed by Alberto G. Rodriguez, starring Eric Roberts, Leila Almas, and Jamie Zavalin.
Yeah, this is not Neron.
This is not. I hope Neron is better than this. Sorry about the Neron thing, inmates. We couldn't find it anywhere. We should probably look into that before we make big announcements.
Yeah. But we did look into the next one.
Yes, we did. We are ready to go. And by starring Eric Roberts, I mean he's in this movie for a combined minute and a half, possibly.
Yeah.
Oh, God damn it.
People. I don't blame him for leaving
this movie. I don't blame him either. I mean, clearly he has bills to pay, but fuck. Apparently they couldn't afford him, like, for more than an hour.
Right.
So, shit.
He was doing three other movies
at the same time. Yeah, probably. God damn it. So, we start off in Sugarland, Texas.
Sugarland.
Yes, which is an actual place.
Mm-hmm.
We start off with this disclaimer stating that so-and-so had a sugar plantation in Texas, mm-hmm. and he owned slaves and used slave labor, but then it just says he buried the slaves.
And built a city on top of it.
Built a city on top of it.
Yeah.
So why did he kill the slaves, or did they just die of natural causes and that's where he buried them? Or I don't know. We'll never get into that.
Yeah.
There's a lot of shit in this. Okay. All right. First of all, like I said, last night I watched this movie. I was a touch sleep deprived and heavily medicated for my allergies. You're going to think that I'm full of shit when I walk you through this movie, and you're going to think that I'm the fucking crackhead here because I'm not making any sense. No, this fucking movie doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't.
God damn it, Alberto G. Rodriguez. All right, so that's our opening disclaimer. From there, we jump right into what appears to be a officer-related shooting, mm-hmm. in which the cop is more or less... doctoring the crime scene to make it look like it was some kind of self-defense to save his own ass.
Right.
So you're given the impression that this is a dirty cop and he just murdered somebody and now he's covering his tracks.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. That's interesting. I'll give you that.
Mm-hmm.
From there, we cut right to a very upscale house. And I believe the owners of the house are about to leave to go somewhere for an extended period of time, and they're renting the house to a young lady named Rachel.
Right.
Rachel is a college student, and she's going to be living there in their house while they're gone. Excellent. From there, we stay with Rachel as she goes. She's this is Leila Almas. She's fairly attractive.
Yeah.
Has no idea how to act.
No, she doesn't.
She does zero acting in this movie.
Yeah.
I'm willing to bet you could punch her in the face and her facial expression would never change.
Yeah, she'd be a good zombie.
Yeah. She'd be like, if they needed like a mannequin, she'd make a great mannequin.
Oh yeah, that too.
If you need somebody to play a dead lady, perfect. Spot on.
Do you need me to act? No,
no,
you're fine.
Just lay there. Golden. Perfect. All right, so that's interesting. The people renting the house seem a little hurried, like they want to get the fuck out of there as soon as possible.
Right.
That whatever, it doesn't really matter. Okay, we follow Rachel as she's making her way through her college experience. From what I gather, they're in law school,
mm-hmm.
and apparently they're given some kind of an exercise where they have to, take on historical cases and try to defend them or prosecute them or something, or just research historical cases or something like that. Mm-hmm. Her classmate is probably about 55 years old, and he has a crush on Rachel.
Yeah, well... She won't say much.
Well, no, and it's good because he's a dirty old man. His name is Patrick, and he's like her study partner or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so that's what we get to see. Patrick basically following Rachel around campus, and they're talking about this case.
Yeah.
The case that they've been assigned or have chosen to do involves, I believe it was a local case involving a female slave who either accidentally or purposefully murdered her owner and was subsequently tried and hung for the murder.
Right.
So I believe what they want to do is either get into the case more or...
Get all the facts.
Yeah. Maybe see if there's something else going on there. This has absolutely nothing to do with anything.
No.
So, but we spend an awful lot of time on it, motherfuckers.
Yeah.
All right. I assume that this is Alberto G. Rodriguez's attempt at misdirection. But it's just boring. So that's great. Okay, so now we cut to them. Well, first off, we start off with just Rachel. She goes back home that night, and she's working on her studying and getting the facts together. She's doing it in the dark.
Yeah.
Which is very strange to me.
Yeah. Like, one of the things I text you is, did they not turn on lights?
There's no... What the fuck, man?
Who does that?
I get it. You want, like, a dark vibe, but...
Yeah,
they're studying in the dark. They're making dinner in the dark.
I know. At least put a little lamp or candles.
It doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't.
Make any fucking sense. I could see it if they went back to his place because he's clearly trying to fuck her, and like maybe he's got some candles lit or something.
Yeah. Well, then put on some smooth jazz.
Yeah. You know, fucking slip her a little something in her drink there. Yeah. All right. So she's in the dark studying, and then the lights start coming on behind her. So she's like, "What's going on? I don't know. I think there's somebody in the house." So she runs outside of the house and calls the police.
Yeah.
This is the most fucking attentive ghost ever. He's like, "You're going to ruin your eyes studying in the dark like this. Let me turn some lights on for you."
Right.
And then she freaks out and runs out of the house. All right. Very considerate of this ghost.
Yeah.
It's got your best interest at heart there, Rachel. Rachel freaks out. She runs outside and calls the cops. From there, we cut back to our detective that we just saw doctoring a crime scene.
Mm-hmm.
His name is fucking... He's played by Jamie Zevallar.
Detective Jonathan Silva.
Detective Silva. Now he's in a bit of a pickle here because he just got involved in this officer-involved shooting, and apparently whenever that happens, it goes straight to internal affairs. And he's now under investigation for that.
Right.
So we see him being questioned by an internal affairs officer.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, what we're gathering from this is that the detective's daughter went missing a couple years back. This guy that he just murdered was a pedophile. And I don't know if he was a suspect in his daughter's disappearance, or if they pinned it on him, or they just couldn't find him, or what. But regardless, Silva murdered the pedophile, and that's what's happening there. So,
and tried to cover it up.
And tried to cover it up, and apparently succeeded.
Yeah.
Excellent. From there, we meet Silva's partner, played by the incomparable Eric Roberts.
Yeah.
He's playing a guy named Chief Lubbock.
Yep.
I guess he's not his partner. He's technically his boss. But, Eric Roberts is not a bad actor.
No, he's not. He's actually a good actor. He's
very good, I think. He was great in The Dark Knight.
Yeah.
Best of the Best. Runaway Train. I haven't seen Human Centipede 3, but I heard it's crap.
Right.
But, you know, unfortunately, he takes every single project that comes his way, which, to be honest with you, I probably would, too.
Yeah, why not?
For fucking money. You know, I'll memorize some lines and spew them out at you.
You didn't have to memorize much lines.
No! And he popped up, and I'm like, oh, cool, Eric Roberts is here to save this piece of shit movie.
Right? Dun-da-da-da!
Yay, Eric Roberts! But unfortunately, he's only in this movie for about a minute and a half.
Yeah.
Intermittently at that. And I don't feel like he was utilized very well either.
No.
Anyway, we see Detective Silva. He gets questioned by internal affairs. He gives them this horseshit thing about he followed the suspect and he called for backup, but backup didn't come. And then he thought maybe there was a girl on the premises, so the suspect fired his weapon first, so he shot. It's all horseshit.
Right.
Excellent. And then he goes and has a sit down with Chief Lubbock, and Chief Lubbock, I got the vibe that like Lubbock knew what happened, but he wasn't.
He couldn't prove it.
Yeah, but he was like, he didn't really care either because he
was a pedophile anyway.
Yeah, he's a pedophile, and Silva's a good cop other than this, so, you know, who cares?
Mm-hmm.
Right about this time, we cut back to Rachel. The police have shown up. Well, one cop has shown up, like a patrol cop.
Uh-huh.
And she's walking around the house, and we get, like, some creepy vibes from the house. Again, it's pitch black in there, and starting to get a little shadow people, shadow movement stuff. That's exciting. All right, now we cut from there to the next day. Silva is having, like, brunch with his wife. And basically we get the impression that they are divorced because of the thing that happened with their daughter. And that relationship is inconsolable, so that's just the way they're going to go.
Right.
This is way too fucking busy already.
Yeah, way too busy.
This is like a fucking Tarantino movie.
Yeah.
But not as nearly as good or as interesting.
Right.
God damn it. And with really shitty acting. All right. Excellent. Now we cut back to Rachel the following day. We get more of her and Patrick kind of walking around and half-ass flirting with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And Patrick basically is like, oh, you want me to come over tonight? I heard there was ghost stuff at your house. And she's like, no. Well, yeah, I do, because it's kind of creepy over there.
Yeah.
So Patrick shows up the following night at Rachel's place, and they're studying in the dark.
In the dark.
Fucking nonsense. Like the owner of the house has like a favorite vase that her mother gave her, and the thing just gets knocked over by itself. All right.
Yeah.
That's fucking whatever. So now we're all weirded out about this, this vase that got knocked over. Patrick's like, yeah, shit, let's clean it up. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's what we do. Cut to the next day. I'm glazing over a lot here because this is a very busy movie.
Yeah.
Cut to the next day, we see Detective Silva. He gets assigned we're still in that night. That later that night, there's like a loud music playing out in the front lawn, which is not paranormal. It's the neighbors having a fucking party.
Right?
But she makes it into this paranormal thing where she's creeping around with a flashlight. Turn the fucking lights on, you jackass.
Yeah.
What are you doing? the electricity works in the house. Turn the lights on.
Mm-hmm.
She's creeping around with a flashlight. She goes outside to try and find the source of the music, and she basically stumbles upon a human femur, like in the rose bed or something like that.
Right.
It's like out in the dirt there. All right, so she calls the cops. Hey, I got a fucking human bone over here. Come check this out. Now Detective Silva gets assigned the case of the missing femur, or the found femur, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So he shows up at her place the next day. He's there. He's talking to her, asking her questions about where she found the femur. She has to take off because she's late to class. He sticks around and keeps poking around the backyard there. Nothing too exciting happens here. Later that night, she comes in. She goes to... We get like a weird stalker type of a situation where we cut to POV and the camera's like creeping up the stairs and she's in her bedroom studying in the dark.
In the dark.
Like a fucking maniac. And then we see like the camera like creep up on her. And if you're paying attention, there is no way to track the timeline of this movie because the hardest thing to keep track of is who's wearing which outfit at which time.
Right.
Because it changes on a fucking dime.
Uh-huh.
She's laying in bed studying. Okay, she's got like her pajamas on. Then she gets up and walks around the house. Now she's got a full-on regular outfit on. Oh, God. The same thing happens with the cop.
Yeah.
So, and then we try to introduce flashbacks into this, but there's nothing stating that it would be a flashback, so I don't know who... God damn it! God damn it! Eric Roberts! All right. I'm starting to understand what GP goes through when he watches a movie. All right. So that's crazy. So we see like this weird stalker cam creep up on her. And basically we get some more of the shadow people stuff. Creeps up on her. She turns around. Ah! And then that's that.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, she had asked Patrick to pick her up from school, to take her to school the next morning. Patrick shows up, knocks on the door, not there, lets himself in, goes walking around the house a little bit. She's not anywhere. He was well on the point of sniffing her panties.
Yeah.
I don't know if you figured that out. Yeah. Or not, but he was making his way right into the bedroom and finding the panty drawer. Rachel's not here, huh? I'll just do a little perusing. Nasty. 55-year-old guy. At least. I want to find out how old that actor is. I'm going to tell you right now, he is way too old for her. He was played by a guy named Manny M. Mendez, whose birthday is not listed on his IMDb
page. No, it's not.
It's a fucking good thing, too, because I would have... Yeah, he's significantly older than she is. Whatever. He gets in there. He's like, well, she's not here. So he calls her, and then he hears her phone ringing, like, in the same bedroom. And there's, like, not really signs of a struggle, but there is a little bit of a mess in the bedroom. So that's interesting. About that time, he calls the cops, and Detective Silva comes back over.
Yeah.
Now we cut to Rachel herself. This is the dumbest fucking thing I've ever heard in my life. So whatever it was that was in the house caught her and apparently knocked her out and teleported her to the abandoned Sugarland mill that is there.
Yeah.
It's in the town. It's an abandoned sugar mill, which apparently was utilized by the plantation owner. And it has now transported her to the sugar mill and locked her in there.
It's the Twilight Zone.
It's the who gives a shit zone is what it is. It's fucking dumb. All right. So now we cut to Rachel. She wakes up in the abandoned mill, and she's walking around, and she's all dazed and confused. She tries the door. It's locked. She tries a couple other doors. They're all locked. She's banging on the doors. Help me. Help me. Cut back to Rachel's house. Patrick is now being questioned in the disappearance of Rachel. Detective Silva is like giving him a good ration and like, interrogating him and looking into his background and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Basically he's a suspect in the disappearance is what's happening. Now this part of the movie goes on for probably a good 20 minutes and it's all stupid.
Yeah.
We get a whole lot of, footage of Rachel walking around all dirty and disheveled. I'd like it noted that she walks past probably 30 to 40 windows. And there are a number of implements anywhere in and or around this abandoned factory that she could use to break one of said windows and walk right out of there.
Easily.
She's on the fucking ground floor, buddy.
Yeah.
God damn it.
It's probably because it was light.
That's totally what it is. Yeah. Totally what it is.
It was light outside.
Does she do that? No. She just keeps walking around in circles and, help me, help me. Mm-hmm. all right. Now we get a little, a little Scooby Gang action from Detective Silva as he's chasing down leads and trying to find her and, casting a very disparaging eye on, Patrick. Basically what we find out is that Patrick was linked to two other disappearances that happened in Sugarland, like 2 or 3 years prior, Clayton and Melissa. Now this is where it gets really stupid. Because there's a flashback here that is in no way denoted as a flashback. So we have no way to know that this is happening before the events. So Clayton and Melissa have disappeared. We cut to this half-assed flashback where Clayton and Melissa go to a wealthy Texas douchebag landowner,
right?
Real estate developer. You can tell he's a douchebag because he's got a giant cowboy hat on.
Yeah.
It's just fucking way to be original there, Alberto G. Rodriguez. And basically, they're coming to this guy. He bought up a bunch of property there in Sugarland, and he's developing it for low-income housing. But the problem is that they suspect there is a mass grave on the property that is basically holding the bodies of all these slaves.
Right.
They're like, hey, you, you can't be building there, dude. That's against regulations and some... You know, you just can't do it because it's bad.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, well, I'm going to cut you a check and you're going to get the fuck out of here. And he's kind of got like a shady son that's just kind of hanging around. And you can tell he's shady because he's always wearing wife beaters.
Yeah.
And he's got kind of like a greasy look to him.
Yeah.
Shady guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Original. That's what that is. All right. So we don't know that that's a flashback, though. And that's another problem I have with this movie. I'm just like, who the fuck are these two?
Right.
And they just showed up, and now they're pitching a major bitch about these dead slaves. Okay. Interesting. Now we cut back to Rachel. She's still trapped in the Sugarland Mill. And she's... okay. All right. So she's banging on the door, and eventually this janitor walks up, and he's like, I'm going to get you out of here. None of my keys work in this door. I'm going to go get some help, though. And she's like, oh, my God, hurry. So he leaves. He's like this decrepit old black guy. Comes back maybe 10, 20 minutes later with the correct set of keys and opens the door.
Mm-hmm.
So if my calculations are correct, Rachel was in there probably about 12 hours.
Yeah.
It looked like she had been in there for about a month. She's like laying on the floor. She's like got her wrist on her forehead. Oh.
She's dehydrated.
Oh, God. This is so stupid. They get her out of there. She's like limping and stuff because I don't fucking know why she would be. She did like two laps around the floor and that was it.
It's probably from stomping on the ground.
Probably from not acting. I heard that can cause you to cramp up.
That too.
She's taken a lot of not acting classes, so she's really refined her craft.
Professional.
That's right. All right, they get her out of there. She's all fucked up. Well, she's not, actually. She's just dirty, and she's acting very put upon.
Mm-hmm.
All right, interesting. But this brings us to another problem, because in looking into Patrick's history, we stumbled onto this disappearance of Clayton and Melissa, who, if I'm not mistaken, were like some kind of civil rights attorneys or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know. They had some kind of a beef about... him, the landowner building on all these this mass grave, mm-hmm. supposedly. All right, they've disappeared, apparently prior to this film taking place. Okay, so now Rachel because she had this experience, she's now like she's now driven to get to the bottom of the Clayton and Melissa disappearance.
Yeah.
Okay,
she's had an epiphany.
Okay, that's fine, except that she is not... If you're following the story at this point, which is very difficult to do, I might add,
right.
She has no knowledge of the Clayton and Melissa characters.
Correct.
So basically... Oh, God, this is dumb. So basically, she goes home, she's like... Something took me to the Sugarland factory. It wanted me to know something about the Sugarland factory. So after that, she's like, Clayton and Melissa! It's them. I know it's them. But she wouldn't have... God. Yeah. All right. Whatever. Whatever. So now she's like doing her own little... She goes all Scooby Gang on us and starts her own little investigation.
Mm-hmm.
She starts by interviewing the Texas douchebag, the landowner guy. Basically, they kind of like, slap her on the ass and tell her to shove off, little lady, and shut up and get out of here, you stupid law student. That's fine. I guess. What happens after that is she, this is even dumber now that I think about it. She had such a difficult time getting out of the Sugarland factory on the first floor where all the windows are.
Yeah.
She goes back like two nights later and breaks in. No problemo breaking in. Not only does she break in, but she like gets up on the roof and like comes in like from one of the upper level floors. She couldn't get out of the fucking first floor. Oh my God. All right. So now she breaks into the place. Of course, she has to do it at night.
Yeah.
Because I don't know why.
She gets her energy at night.
That's what it is, man. Yeah. All right. That's creepy. About that time, we cut back to Detective Silva.
Mm-hmm.
He's pretty sure now that Rachel's back, he's kind of dropped that case, but he's really thinking that Patrick had something to do with the disappearances of Clayton and Melissa.
Right.
So now he's like really like digging into Patrick's past and trying to find links. And I think at one point he questioned one of Patrick's ex-girlfriends or high school friends or something like that.
Yeah.
He was like asking her if he was ever violent or anything like that. Basically, no. Patrick's just a 55-year-old loser that likes to hit on college girls.
Yeah.
And apparently can't pass a test either. Okay, interesting. Well, not really, but whatever. So now Detective Silva goes back and he starts talking to Chief Lubbock. And this is the remaining 13 seconds of Eric Roberts' screen time, unfortunately.
Yeah.
They get a search warrant and they're going to bring Patrick in. They go to Patrick's house. Now, it's just... this is very stupid again because it's Detective Silva, Chief Lubbock... And the rich guy's son.
Yeah.
What the fuck is he doing
there? Making an appearance.
He just showed up like, well, okay, we got to have cops, but let's just grab this random dude and yeah. He's going to come in with us.
Uh-huh.
So they all go, what the fucking stupid, man. So they all go in there, guns drawn, they grab Patrick, and then they start interrogating him right there on the couch.
Yeah.
Which is a gross violation of civil rights.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot do that. Okay, asking him all these questions. Where were you on the night of, and what are you doing with Rachel? And I know how it. And then Eric Roberts comes in, and he's like, "Hey, man, I know how it is. You know, you're really into a chick, and she's not into you, and you get a little possessive, and she starts talking to other guys. And why would? Okay, but they. What I thought was really dumb is they don't ask him anything about Clayton and Melissa.
Right.
What?
It's old news.
I know, but that was the whole point of... Oh, God. Damn it. See, at this point, I would love to tell you that the allergy medication was kicking in, and I was starting to get woozy, and I would defer to Buddy to make this make sense. Buddy, can you make this make sense
for me? No.
Absolutely not, because it's stupid! God damn it!
There's so many things that don't tie together in this.
It's just shit that's in there, and it doesn't lead to anything. It's just in there. Like the whole pedophile thing.
Yeah.
That went absolutely nowhere.
Nowhere.
What the fuck was the point of that? Oh, God. All right. Whatever. Okay. So about this time, they take Patrick away, apparently to a lockup or something like that. Rachel goes back to the house that she's renting where all the paranormal shit is going on. Silva goes to the abandoned Sugarland Mill and starts poking around there. From there, we kind of jump back and forth between the two of them as this is taking place. Rachel is getting more ramped up with the paranormal activity, and as things are really starting to escalate, the rich guy's son shows up. Back at the abandoned mill, Silva is just walking around, but every now and then he gets like a, ooh, I got a feeling about going this way.
Yeah.
And then, ooh, what's down that way? I feel like I should go that way.
Uh-huh.
And basically, he finds a dead body there at the mill. Just as that's happening across town at the house that Rachel's renting, the rich guy's son just kind of knocks on the door. Apparently, he owns that house that she's renting.
Yeah.
So I guess she's subletting from the... Or no, he sold the house to the owners... And he just showed up because I guess he wanted to... He made some excuse about checking the plumbing or some shit.
Yeah.
Anyway, he's in her living room. And basically, he's explaining to her that he killed Clayton and Melissa because they were going to fuck up the whole real estate development thing. And he couldn't have that because that would fuck up the empire that he's going to inherit from his dad.
Right.
And then he pulls a gun on Rachel. All right, cut back to Detective Silva. He finds the dead body, and then he goes,
dun, 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 dun.
Rachel, shit! Like, okay, so you found a dead body. Does that just, you just had like a immediate reason that you're going to, everything all of a sudden makes sense? Oh, shit, all right, I got to get to Rachel's house because she's about to get shot by that rich guy's son.
Right.
So he jumps in his car, hauls ass to Rachel's house. He goes in there with his gun drawn.
Mm.
How he would draw the conclusion that Rachel was in danger from seeing a dead body.
Who knows?
Yeah, I'm done thinking about this stupid fucking movie. He goes running upstairs. We don't know exactly what happens from there, except that he comes around a corner, finds something on the floor, which we can't see. And then you hear a gunshot, and then the screen goes black. And then it comes back up, and you see a hand holding a gun, and it's bloody, and it twitches for a second, and then credits.
Yeah. There you have it. If that makes sense to you guys,
you're welcome to try to fucking walk us through this because I don't get it, man. There was no summoning of anything.
Uh-uh.
Number one, number two, this move. Oh. Here's I'm trying to give Alberto G. Rodriguez the benefit of the doubt here. Here's what I think happened. I could be completely off base. I think he wrote himself a movie about these ghosts trying to lead this chick to their murderer. Okay, that's fine and well. I understand that part. I think like halfway through filming, they somehow got access to that Sugarland plantation. Fucking mill, abandoned mill, and they had to try to find a way to muscle that in there.
Yeah, the factory.
And then the whole shit just fell apart from there.
Yeah.
So, I feel like you failed there, Alberto G. Rodriguez. I'm sorry. This movie sucks.
Yeah, it really does.
It's bad, inmates. It doesn't make any sense. I mean, that's the best I can do for you. You don't want to watch it. I'm telling you right now, it's bad. It's a bad movie.
Yeah.
Special effects were bad. Acting was horrible, except for Eric Roberts.
Nothing made sense.
Nothing made... A lot of, like, cool plot points that could have been cool.
Could have gone somewhere.
If they went anywhere, but yeah. No, you just chop it off right there.
Nothing ties into anything.
No! Like that whole Patrick guy. He gets questioned. He's supposed to be getting questioned about Clayton and Melissa. Mm-hmm. All they do is ask him about Rachel... And then he just is just gone for the rest of the movie.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened to him. Oh, God. And
turn the lights on.
Turn on the goddamn lights.
Jeez.
You can't study in the dark, you fuckers. Who do you think I am, stupid? God damn it.
Apparently we are for watching it.
We are, yeah. And burning up a whole episode on this crap, you fucking sons of bitches.
Blaming Matt on this one.
I am, Matt. It's your fault. I'm going to suck you in the dick when I see you. I got to take a break now because I need to go outside and get some air. We'll be back with some other stuff.
All right.
Who's going to teach you how to dance? Who's going to show you how to fly? Who's going to call you on the lame, dope, smoking, slacking little sucker you are? Some of mine. I'm
Hey, inmates. If you like what you hear, head over to the Padded Room Facebook group and support us through the patron link with a small monthly donation. Check out the T-Villain link at paddedroom.podbean.com and grab some t-shirts. Thanks for listening and enjoy the rest of the show.
And we are back.
Yeah.
Well, buddy, it looks like you're off the hook this week, my friend.
Hey, does that mean I win?
Probably not. Sorry, buddy.
Damn.
I should give you a win by default. And that'll be the new rule, is that whenever Monica's not here, Buddy gets the round. In lieu of Miss Monica and her absence, I'm afraid we're going to have to cancel the trivia challenge this week. Instead, what we'll do is a little something we like to call three on a meat hook.
Three on a meat hook.
Oh, yeah.
This week's meat hook in honor of the mummy and its kick-ass trailer. Movies featuring and or about mummies.
Yeah.
Buddy, why don't you start us off with number three?
Number three, The Mummy, 1999.
Yeah, good stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
Kevin O'Connor in that.
Who's Kevin O'Connor?
He's the
quirky brother?
No, not the quirky brother, but the guy that had the medallion. He was in that other movie we just watched, the feature film.
Jeepers Creepers?
No. The ship one, where everything went awry.
The ship one? Ghost Ship? What the hell are you talking about?
Yeah, that boat movie that we watched. It was like a heist.
A heist on... Yeah, Ghost Ship, right?
Oh, yeah. Was it called Ghost Ship? I don't know. Those tentacles?
The freaking Deep Rising.
Deep Rising,
yes.
Yeah.
He was on that? Yeah. Oh, yeah, he was.
Yeah, he was a young mechanic in that movie.
That's right.
Yeah. So he was also a little heavier in it.
Cool.
But in this one, he was really skinny. He's like trying to figure out which, language to speak.
Yeah, that's right. Very cool. It's a good show. Yeah. Mm-hmm. More like horror action.
Yeah.
But also with some very comedic stuff also.
Yeah.
Very cool. I love me some Rachel Weisz.
Oh, yeah.
She was like my Hollywood crush. For a long time.
Yeah, she is hot.
I loved her in Confidence. You ever seen Confidence? Uh-uh. Yeah, she plays like a con artist.
Oh.
Screaming hot, that one.
Mm.
My number three, The Outing.
Oh.
Basically, what you have here is a... I'm kind of skirting this one a little bit because there's a mummy in the movie, even though the movie isn't really about a mummy. It's about a genie. But basically, these kids try to spend the night in a Egyptian exhibit at the museum.
Mm-hmm.
One of the kids... Father's is the curator, so they get in there and then they upset the genie, and the genie possesses one of the girls and starts killing everybody else.
Oh wow!
It's like 1983, I think. It's
okay.
Kind of cheesy, but it's a little nostalgic for me.
Hmm.
The Outing. How about number two?
Number two, gonna go with Bubba Hotep, 2002, with Bruce Campbell as Elvis.
I thought about putting that one on mine. I don't know why I didn't, now that I think about it. Right on. That's a great show.
Yeah, it is.
That's more of a horror comedy.
Actually. Yeah.
JFK is an old black guy.
Uh-huh.
Good times. My number two was your number three, The Mummy from 1999.
Uh-huh.
I like it. I'm not a big Brendan Fraser guy.
Yeah.
I mean...
We got to be careful what we say.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that while Monica was here, obviously. But I just... it's a good show. Special effects are great. I like the first two Mummy movies. I didn't care for the one with Jet Li, mainly because it didn't have Rachel Weisz in it. And I didn't care for those Scorpion King movies either.
Yeah.
That's where you get a little silly.
It was cheesy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that one was pretty good, the 1999 Mummy.
Yeah.
How about number one?
Number one, The Mummy, 1932.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
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 More, it's weird because that one follows, like, the plot line is closer to Dracula.
Right.
Than Dracula, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, the book Dracula, it's like they just adapted that into a mummy movie.
Right.
And then that's what you got.
Mm-hmm.
But the Dracula movie is just like this fucking...
Whatever.
The undead count, and he's pissed off.
Right.
That's about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right on, man. Yeah, that's a great show. I like that one.
Oh, yeah. Boris Karloff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's where what's Imhotep and Anaxenamon came from.
Oh, okay.
Who were in the 1999 one. Mm-hmm. My number one is going to be Tales from the Dark Side, the movie. Mm. Lot 431. Remember that?
Oh, yeah. That was a good one.
Christian Slater gets down with the turkey carver.
Yeah.
That's actually a H.P. Lovecraft story.
Oh, nice.
The story's a lot better than that shitty movie. But actually, that movie wasn't bad. But to be honest with you, that's the only vignette I remember out of that entire thing.
Yeah.
I remember Deborah Harry was like the wraparound, and she was going to cook the kid, but he kept reading her stories out of the big book.
Yeah.
What else was there in that? God. Oh, there was the James Remar one where he was nailing Radon Chong, but she was a gargoyle.
Oh, yeah.
The last one. What was the other one?
Gosh, I don't even remember.
There was three of them. There was the Lot 431, the gargoyle thing, and the hitman. Buster Poindexter played a hitman.
Oh, that's right.
That was sent to kill a cat,
yeah.
But the cat kept getting away.
Getting away, yeah.
Stupid. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's our meat hook for the weekend, mates. It's top three mummy movies. We'd love to hear what you have to say on the topic. What are your top three mummy movies?
Absolutely.
Next Tuesday night is the magic night. It's going to be the mental health hotline at 775-387-0275, or you can get us at the regular old email at thepaddedroom2011@hotmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
Check that shit out. Let us know what you think of that. In the meantime, how about a little what are you looking at?
Yeah.
We got a few movies in this week.
I actually watched something, too.
Oh, you got a minute in
yeah.
there? Very cool. Did you get to watch it all at once, or did you have to, like, catch it in between jobs?
No, actually all at once.
Nice.
Yeah.
What are you looking at?
Did you ever get around to watching 10 Cloverfield Lane?
No, I haven't.
I finally got it in.
Yeah, I saw you post that.
It's a pretty good show.
Yeah?
I'm very interested to see how the fuck they're going to tie these two together.
Cool.
The first two.
Right.
And then apparently they have two more in the works.
Yeah.
I'm not going to ruin it for you. I'll just say it's a pretty good show.
Okay, good.
I love John Goodman.
Yeah, was he a badass in it?
He's a creep. He's a creeper, is what it is.
Okay.
Nice. I mean, he's like a doomsday prepper, but there's something just... I mean, obviously...
Something
off. Yeah, I mean, obviously, he's got a fucking bunker.
Right.
But there's something even more off.
Okay.
And he's... I don't know. It gets very strange. It's a good show, though. I liked it a lot.
Okay.
Elfie Hopkins, Cannibal Hunter.
I haven't heard of that one.
Do you know the name Ray Winstone?
Yeah.
This is his daughter. She is smoking hot, if I do say so myself. Basically, she plays a kind of like a Scooby-Doo, like Veronica Mars type.
Okay.
But she's kind of a loser. She's like 25, and she still lives with her parents, and she smokes a lot of weed.
Okay.
And she's like a punk rock type of chick. And a very weird family moves in next door, and to make a long story short, they're cannibals. And that's what we figure out. But it's all upper crest, like English stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Hmm.
So it's pretty cool. It's not a bad show. More of a horror comedy.
Okay.
Lastly, Prison of the Dead from 2000.
Hmm.
This is another one of those full moon, just fucking crap out a movie.
Okay.
Type of things. You know, I mean, I like full moon entertainment, but some of, God damn, man.
Yeah.
Some of them are just.
Shit.
Fuck. I mean. I'm not. The only reason I sat through this thing is because I was folding the laundry.
Oh, okay.
And once I started it, I was like, one of these chicks is bound to take her shirt off,
and
I'm interested in that. That never happened.
Oh.
It's basically you have like this rich kid group of like paranormal investigators, and they're all upper crust, like snotty types.
Uh-huh.
And they go to this abandoned prison, and then naturally one of them gets possessed and starts offing the rest of them.
Oh. Hmm.
But right. the special effects were crap. The acting was crap. I don't remember any nudity. It's just I don't know what happened with Full Moon, but from like 2000 to like 2007, I'd say.
Mm-hmm.
They just like made the same movie over and over again
with different actors,
and different like settings.
Yeah.
And now I got Full Moon streaming, and I'm like, how do you tell Haunted Dollhouse apart from the Possessed Dollhouse? You can't, because they're the same fucking movie.
It's one giant,
it's just
intertwined movie.
I don't even get it anymore. That's all I'm looking at, buddy. How about you, man? All
right, I was able to squeeze in one episode of Supernaturals.
Cool.
Preacher Healer one. It was pretty good.
Right on.
And Jeepers Creepers 2, because, you know, we had watched Jeepers Creepers.
Oh, so. Right on. Yeah, had you seen that one before?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'd seen it, but couldn't remember. It had been a bit a minute.
Ray Weiss plays a bad bitch.
Yeah. Yeah, she does.
No, he.
Well, you know.
I'm interested to see how they're going to, what they're going to do in part three, if part three ever actually comes around.
Yeah.
At the end of part two, the thing was nailed to the guy's wall.
Yeah, waiting for the day to come.
Yeah, the next 23 years or whatever
it
is. So, right on. Yeah, that's a good show. I like that. Again, with the creepy Victor Salva stuff, though.
Oh, yeah.
Shirtless kids.
Yeah. It was more obvious in two than it was the first
yeah,
one.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I mean, once you know... If this were a different movie by a different director, I wouldn't think anything of it.
Right.
But since we know what we know, it's mm-hmm. like, ew.
Yeah.
I don't want to be a part of this. Right on, man. Let's get you into some immersion therapy.
Can we skip it?
Nope. You got to take your licks like the rest of us, young man.
Right.
Immersion therapy.
I wouldn't say I liked this movie or enjoyed it, but I wasn't nearly as mad at it as GP was.
Yeah.
I like the look of the fucking cavemen.
Yeah.
I didn't like how they kept writing everything off as a dream.
Oh, yeah.
You know? I was going to be pissed if they were going to say the whole thing was a dream at the end.
Yeah. I was ticked off with the wife.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, what the hell?
So are you just going to go get pregnant by... Why are you having sex with these things to start with? You know what I mean?
Right.
Really? That's what you're going to do? Jesus. I could see nailing the neighbor or something. But fucking these guys? God.
Yeah. No, that blonde, though.
She was hot. I was hoping we'd...
Yeah, a little dream sequence in there.
Yeah, she's like, do you want to... Let me get my... shirt off so you can check my heart.
yeah
not your best work there, buddy.
No definitely not.
I wouldn't say it's your worst, though.
I don't know.
I mean, that what was that other one we watched a couple weeks ago that was really bad? Not The Fury.
See, obviously. I like The Fury.
Not Night Watch. Not I don't know what that is. The Pack, that was Monica's pick. The Human Centipede was all right. The Charnel House.
Oh, yeah.
That was probably a bad one. Yeah. Oh, it's fine. What did you think of Deep in the Darkness?
I thought it was all right.
Yeah.
Definitely not a favorite. I didn't absolutely hate it. I mean, yeah, there was the whole time loops of, you know, the 9-month pregnancy issue. I mean, that was... I thought actually she was trying to fake her pregnancy and hold a pillow. That's why she wasn't, you know, trying to be emotional with her hubby, you know? Yeah. So I was like, oh, okay, well, maybe she's faking her pregnancy. And no.
Weird troglodyte kid.
Yeah.
Weird. Not a great movie, but it's not bad. If you just want to have something on while you're folding the laundry, that's
it might work.
Yeah,
it's at least check out the creatures. Yeah.
I like the look of the troglodytes.
And the cave.
Yeah, that was pretty gnarly, cool. Too.
Yeah.
The fucking glowing eyes and shit.
Pretty yeah. Cool. And then I thought the ending, I was thinking he was going to sacrifice himself and let the kid live. But
yeah.
I was like, oh, okay, well.
No. She's got some splaining to do.
Yeah.
You gave birth to a troglodyte.
Yeah.
Bad business.
Ew. I'm glad they didn't show that.
Yeah, I don't want to see how they have sex. That's no. Pretty weird. I'm sure that's no good.
Mm-mm.
All right, man, what do you got for us this week?
Oh, shit. All right.
That's from 1984.
Oh, that's actually a movie. Oh, damn it. All right. Let's check out 2008. The Midnight Meat Train.
There you go.
And this is written by Jeff Bueller and directed by Ryuhei Kitamura. And it stars Vinnie Jones, Bradley Cooper, Leslie Bibb, and Brooke Shields.
Very cool.
Yeah.
It's a pretty good show.
Yeah, anxious for this one.
Check that one out, inmates. We'll do the same and compare notes next week. This is normally where we educate Miss Monica. We have no Monica to educate, however.
So I win.
I'm going to give it to Buddy.
Yeah.
Buddy with a win.
Well, that was a tough one.
All right. I guess we'll make this a short one and jump right into the werewolf athletics then.
Mm-hmm.
The Company of Wolves.
Booyah. Mm-hmm. Been a nice couple of days, man.
Yeah, you ready for the shitstorm?
Yeah, I guess it's coming this weekend, right?
Yeah,
that's nice. I got about 16 miles in this week.
Very nice.
Figure you got to squeeze them in when you can with this fucking Reno weather.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's
beautiful out right now.
Yeah. Like the other day, I did 6 miles down at the marina. I got there and it was freezing. So I'm like, shit, I got to get moving. Time I was done, I was friggin' hot out. It was like 80 degrees.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And now we might get snow on Saturday.
Yeah. That's what I heard.
Yeah.
Perfect. Allergy season, inmates. It's, yes. It's that time of the year. This is about as clear as you're going to hear me, probably for the next month, month and a half.
Yeah.
I usually take an allergy. You got allergies, do you?
Mm-hmm.
I usually go Allerclear. How do you go?
I got this nasal spray.
Oh, how does that work?
It works.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, dude. I get weirded out by putting things in my nose. You know what I mean? Especially like that, you get that weird cocaine drip that goes down the back of your throat. The freaks me
nasal
out.
Leakage.
Yeah. Like,
yeah.
Nasty.
That and Allegra. I'll do both.
Right on.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'll do a Benadryl, but that's not till bedtime.
Bedtime.
And yeah. Knocks me on my ace.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, I think that's about all we got on the weekend, mates. Give Monica some crap on Facebook for not showing up, but not too much because it's not her fault. It's her husband's fault. Other than that, as usual, like, comment, subscribe on iTunes. All that stuff helps us out a lot. You can also do some t-shirt shopping at paddedroom.podbean.com, or you can also contribute to the Patreon link there. That helps us out a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Put us down for like a dollar or two a month. That's not that much. You're never going to miss it. We'll make it go a long way, and that's how we keep this show free for you. You can also do your Amazon shopping there also. We get a little kickback from that.
Yeah.
And other than that, I think that's about it. Yeah, since we got no Miss Monica. Yeah. You got anything else on the week, young man?
No, just now that Matt's the jokester.
Master jokester?
Matt is the jokester.
Oh, yeah, with his Eric Roberts. Join us next week for Joker's Poltergeist, inmates.
Mm-hmm.
Continuing Eric Roberts month, courtesy of Crackhouse Matt. Motherfucker. All right, for the Padded Room Podcast, Buddy and Miss Monica in absentia, I'm afraid visiting hours are over.
Bye, and enjoy the rest of your week. The truth and death drop for the first time.